past the hour here on the Malloy Program. Something was in the drinking water today that was passed around this country, I guess. Some very odd things happened today. And we're going to tell you about them here in just a minute. There's some serious news, though. At least three people were wounded, two of them police officers, during a shooting tonight at a train station near the Pentagon. The shooting took place at the entrance to the metro station that's right next to the Pentagon. So the Department of Defense headquarters was put on lockdown for a brief period. Witnesses told local news stations they heard gunshots. Two of the people who were shot are Pentagon police officers. Third person is believed to be the gunman. Two of the victims, according to NBC, were rushed to George Washington Hospital for treatment. Another was treated at the scene for minor injuries. Virginia, of course, has some of the most lax gun laws in the nation. And as you know, in front of the Supreme Court right now, they heard arguments the other day to destroy Chicago's laws against gun ownership, handgun ownership. You can own damn near any kind of rifle or shotgun you want in Chicago, but not a handgun, as I found out the hard way. But Virginia has some of the most lax gun laws in the nation, and it's been drawing criticism from gun control advocates lately by pushing to expand those gun rights even further. The state Virginia's General Assembly approved a bill a couple of weeks ago allowing people to carry concealed weapons in bars, restaurants, to serve alcohol, and the House of Delegates voted to end a 17-year-old measure forbidding people from buying more than one handgun a month. Jesus Christ, this country's going insane. So a shooting at the Pentagon, a Glenn Beck fan who obviously went berserk and decided to kill police officers at the Pentagon, and didn't succeed. At least neither officer is dead yet. And the perpetrator apparently is not dead yet either. So maybe they can, when they fix him up, they can waterboard him a bit and find out what it was that Glenn Beck said that made him decide to open fire, near the entrance to the Pentagon. Jesus God. Glenn, you better back off. Seriously, you're pushing the nutcases in this country to the max. Well, that's what you're trying to do. Never mind. University of Texas, San Antonio campus. Did you hear about this? Students there were asked if they wanted to turn in their Bibles and get some pornography in exchange. And there's a college atheist group there is offering students pornography in exchange for their Bibles, their Holy Qurans, or other religious texts. The group is Atheist Agenda. That's the name of it. And it calls the exchange Smut for Smut. The members of this group claim that the Bible and other religious texts are just as smutty as any pornography. According to the group, I don't know why they say according to the group, because if you read the Bible, you know this is true. The Bible contains all sorts of misogyny, violence, torture, questionable sexual practices. The Bible, in addition to the Quran and other religious texts, are filled with the most disgusting, degrading of images, genocide, infanticide, incest, the sexual abuse of children. Jesus Christ, if you order that stuff online, your ass is going to prison for a long time. You don't need to order it online. Go buy a Bible. Go buy a Quran. Go buy any religious text, and there it is! Jesus God. Anyway, as you might expect, the exchange is prompting both protests and prayers from Christians. I don't know what the Muslims are doing. The Muslims are probably getting out their swords and going to go lop some heads off. No offense to Muslims. Look, you know I hate all religions, so don't get your balls in an uproar if you hear me say something like that, Mr. and Miss Muslim. I just don't like any religion, okay? And I'm always busting the Christians, so you get a turn in the barrel, too. If you want to declare a fatwa or a jihad or whatever the hell it is on me, well, like I used to say in my neighborhood, if you want to get ass, you got to bring ass. I'm not challenging you, but just back off from sending me all these weird emails about, oh, you speak out against God, we're going to kill you. Come and get it. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, the exchange is prompting prayers and protests from Christians. Some have gone so far as to accuse this atheist group of being intolerant. Oh, my God. How can any Christian organization accuse someone else of being intolerant? That's what all religion is based on, is intolerance. Oh, my God, so to speak. And you got to laugh at the irony of a claim like that. 100 years of cruel and brutal intolerance and hatred for everything not Christian. Christians have very little credibility when they try to play the victim card. Yeah, that always pisses me off. You know, there's just all this terrible actions against Christians. They're trying to drive us into the closet, push the queers out and drive us in. It's just unbelievable what they're doing to us. We Christians are suffering mightily. They took God out of the classroom, and next they're going to try to take God out of the church, and they're telling us what we can and can't preach, and oh Lord, please come down here and rapture us up and leave these filthy bastards. Anyway, a spokesman for University of Texas, San Antonio says, quote, as long as students are not violating laws or violating the Constitution, they have the freedom of speech and assembly, you know, to do their smut for smut thing. The atheist campaign required police protection from angry Christians attempting to tear down signs. Yeah, and intimidate the atheists. Oh, God. Here, I'll give you a tape, a video, not tape, come on, Malloy, Jesus, get in this century. I'll give you a DVD of adults just having all kinds of raucous, fun-filled sex. Men and women, women and women, men and men, men and men and women and women and men and women and men and women. Whole anything you want is right here. And you know what? There won't be any kids. There won't be any violence. There won't be any murder and all that. If you want that, here's the Bible. If you want the crazy stuff, mass murder, genocide, infanticide, incest, sexual abuse of children, Lot banging his two daughters so that the human race goes on. If you want that, here's the Bible. If you want just straight ahead, man on woman, woman on man, woman on woman, sex, here's a DVD for you. Oh, my God. You can't make this stuff up. Oh, and of course, the sad fact is, sad to the Christians, is these students are going, well, hell yeah! You got a DVD? Give me that one there of them women doing each other. Here's your Bible. I don't want this Bible. Give me that. And then the American Family Association, these psychopath, more Christian crazy people, they want to stone to death a killer whale who's responsible for the death of the trainer at SeaWorld. Killer Whale didn't do anything. Killer Whale just like, hell, you want to play? Come on down here and play. What is bubbles coming out of her mouth? Son of a bitch, what's the matter? When do I get my treat? Oh, she stopped moving. Oh, did I do something bad? Oh, hell. I better go over here. Oh. She's floating. So the American Family Association says that whale should be stoned to death. Jesus H. God, stoned to death. Why not just inject it with something? If you really want to kill the whale for just being a whale, listen, you know what the whale's first name is? Killer! The hell is wrong with you people? My God, it's not pussycat whale. It's not snookums whale. It's killer! Or do you think they're kidding? So now the American Family Association wants to stone the whale to death. I don't know. A blogger for the American Family Association reasoned, quote, that according to Exodus, the whale should have been stoned back in 1991 when it committed its first act of killerism. And if biblical law were to be followed, the owners of the whale should be put to death. I'll explain it to you when you come back. I'm telling you, you can't make this up. There's something in the drinking water.
I'm so skin had been all frosted with a dew. Oh, well, she cried, I'll take you in and I'll take care of you. Take me in, oh, tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, tender woman.
22 past the hour. Okay, so the American Family Association, this powerful right-wing Christian political organization, the kind that Jesus would have set fire to and then locked the doors with everybody in the office building. I know he would have. They blogged that, quote, if the counsel of the Judeo-Christian tradition had been followed, the woman trainer, Dawn Brancho, would have never died. American Family Association blogger Ryan Fisher reasoned that according to Exodus, an animal like Tilikum, that's the killer whale, should have been stoned back in 1991. And if biblical law were to be followed, the owners of Tilikum should be put to death now. This is from AFA blogger, quote, chalk another death up to animal rights insanity. Now, let me digress here just for a minute from this crazy bastard's writing. Animal rights people would have done everything possible to prevent these huge animals from being taken into captivity to perform stupid pet tricks anyway. So this shows you right off in the first eight words, you know how screwed up this blogger is. Well, he's American Family Association. What do you expect? Chalk up another death to animal rights insanity and to the ongoing failure of the West to take counsel on practical matters from Scripture. Says the ancient civil code of Israel, quote, when an ox gores a man or woman to death, the ox shall be stoned and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner shall not be liable. End quote. Exodus 21:28. So, your animal kills somebody. Your moral responsibility is to put the animal to death. You have no moral culpability in the death because you didn't know the animal is going to go postal, isn't that cute, on somebody. But the scripture soberly warns, if one of your animals kills a second time because you didn't kill it after it claimed its first human victim, this time you die right along with your animal. To use the example from Exodus, if your ox kills a second time, quote, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. Well, American Family Association, of course, is known for its annual War on Christmas campaign against retailers who refuse to appropriately celebrate the Jesus holiday. And for the rest of the year, according to thinkprogress.org, for the rest of the year, the American Family Association pushes a vitriolic social agenda campaign, including advocacy that all homosexual activity should be outlawed. Stoned whales. And right on top of that, the story the other day about Miss Beverly Hills, who really isn't Miss Beverly Hills. You just declare yourself to be Beverly Hills. And she's another Christian beauty queen who wants to be on Fox News. She says, what's her name? Crazy Bitch, I think is her name. Isn't that her name? Miss Beverly Hills Crazy. I think it's Crazy Bitch. Is that Miss or Mrs.? Miss? Miss Crazy Bitch? Can I call her Miss Bitch? All right, Miss Bitch says that homosexuals should be stoned, just like the whale. Well, why should just homosexuals be stoned? I would love to get stoned again, but I can't. I've got a minor child and I have a broadcast license. All kidding aside, Joy in Sacramento wrote this to me. All kidding aside, some wingnut is going to take this stoning to death talk seriously and be willing to kill someone for the Lord. Should I wear my belt bike helmet when I walk in the park? Joy in Sacramento. Yeah, I think you should, Joy. And just go armed. Everybody else is. I mean, what the hell?
Do they make bike helmets large enough for, say, whales? I just have a rhetorical question to the family. How many people does it take to stone a whale? It would seem like... I'm sorry, but wouldn't you need really big... Were you going to use catapults or...
Oh.
I mean... How many rocks?
Yo, Ms. Malloy, you're taking this way too seriously.
Does the whale get a cigarette? Okay. A blindfold? I mean, do they bury the whale up to the neck in the sand like they do in the Middle East? It's just...
Bill writes about, you know, stoning the whales and killing everybody, all the violence and stuff that you find in the Bible. He said, Mike, if you count them all up, not counting the flood or Sodom and Gomorrah, it comes to 2,391,421 people killed by God. That doesn't include the all the Egyptian babies, does it? The firstborn, you know, during the Passover. And then Bill has sent me, Bill from Ottawa has sent me a list here of the Lord smote Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamites. I guess that's what that is, the Benjamites. That was 25,100 the first time, and then 25,000 more. And for the people who were caught looking into the Ark of the Lord, there's 50,070 dead. Philistines, 20 dead. Samuel, you know, at God's command, Samuel hacks Agag to death. I got some more here. Stick around. Silly woman, say that a reptile with a brain. Now you knew darn well I was a snake before you brought me in. Please take me in.
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. So this idea of murder and mayhem and incest and infanticide and death and genocide and destruction and all this violence that that you find in the Bible, and they are the people who read that book and swear by it. Oh, this is the unmitigated word of the Lord. But if you watch a DVD of normal people playing with each other or sitting around naked, oh, that's sinful. You're going to go to hell. Anyway, Bill from Ottawa, I guess, found interesting about all the smotes and slays that you find in the Bible. Here's a few of them from Judges. The Lord smote Benjamin. 25,100 people died there. More Benjamites here in Judges 20, verse 44, 25,000 more. For looking into the Ark of the Lord, according to 1 Samuel, 50,000. God delivered the Philistines, according to 1 Samuel 20. And Samuel hacks Agag to death at God's command. That's one. The Lord smote Nabal. That's in Samuel. That's one. Uzzah, for trying to keep the ark from falling, he dies. David and Bathsheba's baby boy, that one dies. Seven sons of Saul hanged before the Lord. There's seven. From plague as punishment for David's census. Men only here, probably 200,000, if including the women and children. According to 2 Samuel and 1 Corinthians, 70,000 died there. A prophet, for believing another prophet's lie, he dies. Religious leaders killed in prayer contest. From 1 Kings, that's 450. God delivers the Syrians into the Israelites' hands. There's 100,000 dead, according to 1 Kings, chapter 20. Verses 20 and 29, God makes a wall fall on Syrian soldiers, 27,000 of them dead there. God sends a lion to eat a man for not killing a prophet. There's one dead. Ahaziah is killed for talking to the wrong God. There's one. Burned to death by God, according to 2 Kings, verse 1, chapters 9 to 12, 102 people died there. God sends two bears to kill children for making fun of Elisha's bald head. Only 42 people died there. Trampled to death for disbelieving Elijah, one. Jezebel, of course, she dies, that's one. God sent lions to kill some foreigners. That's in 2 Kings 17, verses 25 to 26. Three, at least three, maybe more. Sleeping Assyrian soldiers. According to 2 Kings, 185,000 sleeping Assyrian soldiers. Saul gets dead. That's according to 1 Corinthians 10. To 14, one dead there. God delivers Israel into the hands of Judah. 500,000 died there. Jeroboam, that's one. The Lord smote the Ethiopians. That's at least 1,000,000. That's in 2 Chronicles 14, verses 9 to 14. God kills Jehoram by making his bowels fall out. That's in 2 Corinthians. That's one dead. Judean soldiers, 120,000 dead there. Ezekiel's wife, there's one. Ananias and Sapphira, that's according to Acts 5, verses 1 to 10. There's two dead. Herod, of course, there's one dead. And it keeps going on and on. I don't see anything. Well, he said, this is without Sodom and Gomorrah and the flood. However many people were alive during the flood, only Noah and his incestuous little group made it out of that one alive, right? So, that's the point. That's the point. If you put out a DVD snuff film with 1/1000th the number of deaths that you find in the Bible, you would be condemned. You would be psychically lacerated. You'd probably go to jail for violating all sorts of laws. But in the Bible, it's okay. It's okay. Well, Mike, that's because it's God. Well, you know what you can do with that God? Stick him in your ear. I'm not the least bit interested in that kind of madness. Now, speaking of being stoned, did you hear about this? In California, state senator there, very strong, you know where I'm going with this, very strong anti-gay state senator, who was involved in making sure that the queers couldn't get married. Da-da, da-da. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? Huh? Oh, my God. State Senator in California, Roy Ashburn, was placed under arrest for drunk driving after leaving a gay bar. A male passenger was in the vehicle along with old Roy. And he was not arrested. Well, of course not. He wasn't driving. This is all according to Sacramento CBS affiliate Channel 13. When Ashburn was pulled over by the California Highway Patrol about 2 a.m. yesterday, drinking in the middle of the week, when his state-issued vehicle was observed being driven erratically. The driver, identified as State Senator, anti-gay California State Senator Roy Ashburn, he was taken in and charged for driving under the influence. Channel 13 reported that the senator had been seen at Faces, a very popular gay night spot, prior to his arrest. In a March 4th article, that would be today, the online news site Talking Points Memo, TPM, we quote a lot, characterized Ashburn, who is married and has four children, as, quote, a fierce opponent of gay rights who has led anti-marriage equality rallies. Ashburn issued a contrite apology, don't they always? And he says, quote, I'm deeply sorry for my actions and offer no excuses for my poor judgment. I accept complete responsibility for my conduct and am prepared to accept the consequences for what I did. Unquote. Now, this guy, how soon will it be before he says, I'm not queer. I'm not, excuse me, can I use that word? I'm not homosexual. I'm not. I really am not. I'm not a homosexual. I hate them. I do. I do everything in my power to stop homosexuals. What was I doing in the gay bar? I lost my glasses. That's it. I was looking for my glasses. I just stopped. I had to pee, and I saw that there was a bar, and I went in there to I don't go to bars, and I went in there and I peed, and somehow my glasses got lost. So I went back in, and the young man, the young man I was with was helping me find my glasses. That's all that happened. I'm not queer. I promise you, I promise my wife, I'm not homosexual. I am not. Senator Ashburn will not be able to drive for a month. And the vehicle he was in, a great big old SUV, has been impounded. If Senator Ashburn receives the same penalties as others do who are arrested for drunk driving, He could face 3 years of probation, fines up to $1,000, attendance at a DUI offender program, and 2 days jail time. Da 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 da. And I like this. This is on edgeboston.com. It is uncertain how the arrest or his reported presence at a gay bar will affect Ashburn's prospects for reelection. He already faces a fellow Republican in the upcoming race for the seat he occupies in the state Senate? Well, it depends. Now, if this guy is a teabagger, well, I mean it in the sense that Glenn Beck means it. I don't mean it the other way. If he's a political if he's a sexual teabagger, if he's a political teabagger, Glenn Beck and crazy-eyed Michelle Malkin and the rest of the psychopaths will come to his defense. Well, Beck won't. Beck will turn his back on him because he won't be able to get any more money out of this guy. But Michelle, crazy-eyed Michelle Malkin, and not to be confused with the real psychopath, Michelle Bachmann. Bachmann, Malkin, I realize they sound the same, but one of them has crazy eyes. They will come to his defense and say, well, he was entrapped by liberals. His big offense was getting caught in a liberal car, driving on a liberal street with a liberal young man, hot as hell, inside the car with him. It's all liberals who did this to Senator Roy Ashburn. And as EdgeBoston.com writes, anti-gay lawmakers who are alleged to engage in sexual activity with members of their own gender have attracted significant media attention in recent years. Among the high-profile cases, former Senator Idaho Larry Craig, Senator Mark Foley, Florida, rumors have long swirled about Florida Governor Charlie Crist, Republican Congressman David Dreyer, rumors, this and that. And then, of course, there is Mitch McConnell. But we're talking about California State Senator Roy Ashburn. I mean, this happens so regularly you can set your watch by it, doesn't it? And the more vocal these people are in destroying their fellow citizens who happen to be gay, the more you can be assured that they themselves have not accepted their own homosexuality, don't know what to do with it, freak out, project all of that self-loathing out onto the world at large, become Christian psychopaths, do anything they can to murder the gay man inside them who's only asking to be allowed to come out. That's all.
To listen to right-wing radio, here's Mike Malone.
Just a couple more here. Bear with me. I'm telling you, there's some kind of virus floating around out there. And this, of course, is from Mississippi. According to campusprogress.org, the Itawamba Agricultural High School in rural Mississippi, Itawamba Agricultural High School. They're getting ready for their prom. Yeah, you're ahead of me on this one, too. And one of the students went to the principal and wanted to know if she could bring her girlfriend to the prom. And she said to her principal, yes, I'm a lesbian. And my girlfriend is another student here at the school. And the one who was seeking permission offered to dress up in a tux and keep her hair cut real short. The school officials, obviously, in Itawamba Agricultural High School in Mississippi are not going to say, oh, yeah, sure, hell yeah, come on. In fact, the school administration told the couple that they might be banned from the prom if they arrived together or made anybody else uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And as Campus Progress reports, the funny thing about this case and all similar cases like it is that inevitably, after they get reported, the school administrators, who are always found to be in the wrong, you would think after numerous legal threats and subsequent cases won by LGBT students on this very issue, school officials would be just a little bit more nuanced with their bigotry. But apparently in this Mississippi town, they haven't gotten the memo yet. Hell, they haven't gotten electricity yet. But and now the ACLU is threatening to get involved if the student's right is not respected. ACLU says in today's letter to Itawamba County School District officials, ACLU cited federal court cases guaranteeing students' First Amendment right to bring same-sex dates to school dances, and also pointed out that treating this student and other lesbian, gay, and bisexual students differently from other students violates the Constitution's equal protection guarantees. Of course, the ACLU is absolutely correct, and the Constitution on these issues is absolutely correct. In the state of Mississippi and the county of Itawamba, Nabahubahamba, whatever the hell this is wrong, and the school board is wrong, and the principal and the school district and everybody else is wrong. These are a couple of high school kids that want to go to their dance together.
Oh, you're going to make us uncomfortable because there's going to be a couple of you women's touching each other, and, well, come to think of it, well, no, but one of you looks like a boy, so therefore it's not fun. If you both look like girls and you both wear one of them little bitty short dresses, maybe we... No, never mind. It says in the Bible that y'all can't come to a prom. Man, you ever thought about bringing a whale or something?
So that will get some extra time. Not much, sometime in the news beat, as it does every year, someplace in the United States of breakdown. And one last thing here. I think this is the last one. Dear God, I hope it is. The Swiss have come up with an idea that they hope might curb the growing problem of teenage pregnancy rates. Extra small condoms for boys as young as 12. Now, a government-backed study of 1,500 people aged 10 to 20 showed that more were having sex from the ages of 12 to 14 compared with a similar study in the 1990s. Young boys, the study showed, quote, have more of a tendency not to protect themselves and their partners and do not understand the consequences of what they are doing. And the woman who headed the research said the results of the study suggest that early prevention makes sense. A spokesman for the Swiss AIDS Federation said the product is called Hot Shot. It has a diameter of 1.7 inches compared with the standard 2 inches, and that both are the same length, 7.4 inches. A six-pack costs the equivalent of $7. I can't. Extra small condoms for preteen boys. When I saw this, I thought I was going to say extra small condoms for Republican men. well, they could use them too, couldn't they? You know, they could go ahead and use them. Instead of a diameter of 2 inches, these little thingies called Hot Shots will have a diameter of 1.7 inches. What's the point? You're asking me what the point is. It's so people don't get pregnant and you know, I mean, I guess the people in the study were ages 10 to 20, and they're more concerned with people ages 13 to 20 having sex, unprotected sex, because, you know, 13-year-olds do not have fully developed brains. The reptilian part, the part that says, I want to hump you, that's developed. But the part that's all about consequences is not there. So what do you do? Beat them up with a Bible, I guess. I don't know. You know, give them a little tiny condom.
If you're James Dobson, you just take them into the shower.
And shower with them. Yeah, okay. Oh, my God. You can tell that we're on the edge of the apocalypse when this kind of stuff gets all this attention. But, Mike, we didn't know about any of this until you talked about it. Yeah, well, okay. Oh, and then one last thing. A female Navy captain has been removed from her command of a destroyer after an Inspector General investigation found that she talks too dirty. Captain Holly Graff, who was in charge of a guided missile cruiser, has too many cases of telling crew members in her inimitable way that they were effing stupid and so on and so forth. So she's been relieved of her command. I never thought I'd live to see a story where a Navy commander is removed from command for cussing. Wow.
When did your life start?
Seven past the hour from Politico.com. Massachusetts Democrat Representative Bill Delahunt will announce his retirement tomorrow. The seven-term congressman told the Boston Globe in an exclusive interview published this evening. In the interview, Delahunt denied that any political calculations figured into his decision. He says, life is about change. I think it's healthy. It's time. And he added he wanted to spend more time with his family and young granddaughter. No, that's become kind of a cliche, but, you know. According to Politico, Delahunt had been publicly mulling over leaving Congress for some time. And he recently came under fire, get this, over a shooting case that he oversaw when he was a Norfolk County District Attorney in Massachusetts that goes back to 1986. 24 years ago. In that case, Delahunt declined to prosecute Amy Bishop, a decision that's now come under public scrutiny after Bishop is the untenured professor at University of Alabama who went berserk and killed three people and wounded three others at a faculty meeting last month. Delahunt said he had considered retiring in 2008, had been talked out of it by the late Senator Ted Kennedy. He added that since Kennedy's death last August, he wanted to remain to help finish his friend's work, and on and on and on. With all the class you expect from these filthy, stinking Republicans, the Republican Congressional Committee Communications Director Ken Spain said, quote, given the week Democrats have had, it should come as no surprise that the toxic political environment has swallowed up another one of their own. Between the controversies surrounding a multitude of Democrats in Congress and Senator Scott Brown's stunning upset victory in January, it is understandable that Congressman Delahunt wasn't up to making his case to the voters. Well, okay, Delahunt is the 16th House Democrat to announce his departure. So far, 19 House Republicans have said they will not seek re-election. Oh, really? Yes. But the communications director for the Republican Congressional Committee, Ken Spain, a lot of class. It's all third, but a lot of class, this guy, huh? Swallow a toxic political environment has swallowed up another one of their own. Oh, you miserable son of a bitch. Oh, man. We want to bring somebody on here, if I can find the damn email. Let me see. Hold on a second. Just hold your horses, okay? All right, remember this guy named Conan? Not Conan O'Brien, but Conan out in Oakland, California. He listens to us on Green 960. And we talked to him back in January. He said he was making an album to protest Karl Rove's new book that is getting a lot of play today. You know, somebody ought to just, I don't know, do something weird to Karl Rove. I don't know, put squirrel testicles in his morning coffee or something. What a freak. And Conan said if he could raise the money, he was going to come out with an album. He joins us now from Oakland. Hey, Conan.
Hey, Mike.
So what happened?
Well, we did it. Quite frankly, a lot due to your help. Thank you very much. We had the record release yesterday, which the end goal was to release the record the week before his book.
Yeah,
and we did it.
Yeah, I understand he's making the morning talk shows tomorrow morning. At least I think on NBC tomorrow morning.
Well, he gets Matt Lauer, and yeah. I get you, and I think I get the better part of that personally.
Well, I just, you know, I get so tired of the hand jobs these people give each other. Karl Rove and Matt Lauer, Matt Lauer and Karl Rove. It's disgusting. Karl Rove was responsible for helping direct the most criminal administration in recent U.S. history. And he writes a book, and these TV freaks just fawn all over him to give him airtime. What's up with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, instead of being hung for treason, hey. I get to go around and collect $25,000 speaking fees. Everywhere he goes.
Tell me about your album. Oh, by the way, Conan, it's hanged, not hung.
Oh, I always, yeah. You know what? I always get that.
But my English teacher said your clothes are hung in the closet, but Karl Rove is hanged from a tree.
Interestingly enough, though, I got it right in the song.
Oh, did you?
Which one of the lines is, we think you should be hanged.
That's great. Tell us it now. How did you went into a studio? You have your own studio. What did you do?
Well, we have.
Where'd you get the money?
Well, that's one of the most amazing things about this whole thing is that it was funded entirely by donations and pre-orders of $20 or less.
Yeah.
And when you think about what it costs to actually make a record, even a digital download and a record package like we have here, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Considering how many people are unemployed. Considering how tight money is, considering how many disasters that we've had, it's something of a minor miracle. And I the last week that we were doing the fundraising, I kind of felt like Jerry Lewis with a telethon, you know, with a tie coming off. And right. The Andrews sisters are coming up next.
The Andrews sisters. Oh, my God. So you produced it in Oakland?
Yeah, so it's 13 different bands. They're not all from Oakland or San Francisco. They're from all around. They're from the Pacific Northwest, from Wisconsin. What's interesting is the response, starting from just being this thing that I was going to do myself, I was going to make a one-off band and release a record called Courage and Consequence, to be not only the other people want to be involved, but there's way too many people to have one band, and it just made more sense to do it as a compilation.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, by this being my little vinyl child, have listened to it quite a bit. It's really good. All these songs are really excellent songs, and everybody really brought the, to overuse a sports analogy, the A game against Old Turd Blossom. And it came together through these small dollar donations. We had this amazing package. I don't know if you, familiar with Danny Hillman. He used to do the Screw magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
And, did stuff for Mad. He did the cover, which is a, parody of Carl Rove's cover. What's interesting is in the book, he's, they kind of crop him, so you can't see his double chins.
Right.
And it's a sort of, you know, the kind of things that they always do in those kinds of things.
You're doing with your album, obviously, what The Nation did with, Sarah Palin's book, Going Rogue, and they came out with Going Rouge. That was a compilation of pieces written by maybe 15 different columnists and political writers around the country during the campaign, and they got Going Rouge out right about the time Going Rogue came out, and I don't know what the sales have been or the success has been, but it sounds like you've done the same.
That was literally a direct inspiration for what we did. The only difference being instead of essayists from The Nation, we have bands with names like Lambs of Abortion and Cold Lake. But nonetheless.
hold on a second. I got to do some commercials. We'll come back and talk a little bit more, all right? Hold on
okay.
a second. We're talking with Conan from Oakland, California. You can check this album out. Go to carlrovebook.net. Carl Rove. And for you people that spell Carl, it's with a K. CarlRoveBook.net. Talking with Conan in Oakland, California, who has put together almost said album, the CD that kind
it
of...
It is actually an album.
It's an actual album. All right.
The new paradigm is CDs are pretty much dead now, so it's all digital downloads and vinyl. Vinyl's actually making a comeback now. It's really amazing.
Oh, my God. Well, this is in conjunction with the publication of a project of Carl Rove's Courage and Consequence, and this is Project Courage and Consequence, put together by a whole bunch of bands. And as it says at the website, this wasn't funded by George Soros, Acorn, or any other conservative straw man. This was funded by a bunch of rock and rollers and working class American citizens. On that note, it should be noted that the entire project and LP was conceived, put together, and released with a budget of about 1/8 the average speaking fee that Carl Rove gets for every engagement. Released February 24th, 2010. Seismic Wave Entertainment in Oakland, California. So if you want to hear the cuts off this album, go to Carl Rove, carlrovebook.net, and there's a link there to hear the whole thing. There's some music you can hear there, too.
All right. Download it for free, and if you want to buy the actual record, that's going to cost.
Yeah, well, let's hope that a lot of people buy it.
We've actually sold a pretty good amount. I mean, we had to just to yeah. to get the darn thing made.
And you mean the advance sales?
The advance sales, yeah. We had the release party last night in San Francisco, which, if I seem like I'm running a little slower because of that.
Yeah, I bet it was fun. Damn.
It was a blast. I will say that.
Would have loved to have been there. How about the A band, or how many bands came from Madison, Wisconsin?
Well, that was San Francisco. So we had Jim Leeson, cartographer, and then Victory and Associates, which is my band that you just so lovingly played a track from, which mm-hmm. that's Lies and the Lying Liars That Sell Them.
Right, right.
Which is my direct address to Mr. Carl Sir Blossom Rove.
Have you sent him a free copy?
What? Here's my this is my plan. If he has the balls to come anywhere close to the Bay Area, and by close I mean within like an hour and a half radius,
right?
I am not only going to come to one of his book signings, mm-hmm. I'm going to bring him one of the records to sign.
You know what might be fun, just for the sheer hell of it? Send a copy of the record to his publisher.
At this point, we're already up on Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Curves and Consequences, it's just up there.
That's so great.
I think we've started to hit the tipping point. And you actually hit on something very important, which now that the record's out, mm-hmm. since we don't have the multi-million dollar vast right-wing conspiracy PR machine funding
right.
us,
right.
going for us, what we need more than anything else to really, the full intent of the record is just like with Going Rouge to confuse and entice, depending on the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, we need to spread the word as much as possible. We need to get the search ratings up. If people have a blog, if they just link to the URL,
mm-hmm.
Downloading and listening to the songs is great. Telling a friend about it, obviously buying the record's wonderful as well. But I feel, and everyone sort of feels that to a certain degree, we've made this wonderful thing about a man that, in response to a man that's caused much misery.
Yeah, this is a way to fight back, and this is the only way to fight back. I hope it gets tweeted. I hope people pick up on this. This thing could go viral very easily if people would just get on their computers, link to your site, get this out there. You know, one more of these rancid sons of bitches from the Bush crime family and the Republican Party, this time Karl Rove, is going to make a fortune. He's going to be on all the television shows. Everybody's going to be sucking up to him like he did anything good for this country, other than further destroy it. And here you guys are with a perfect counterweight to this. And you're not going to be on ABC's Good Morning America or whatever it is. Well, maybe you will. Who knows? But the way to get there is to get it tweeted, to get it, to send it, make it go viral, get people just spreading this all over the net. And I hope to hell that happens.
Facebook, blogging, all that stuff.
Yes.
The hard part's done. We have the
right.
We made the record.
Right. Right. Well, I hope it works out. And to whatever extent, Conan, that we gave it a little boost, we're happy to have done it for sure. So, and I hope some progressive stations in Oakland, San Francisco will start playing it. Just straight up radio play.
Well, we have radio edits of the
yeah.
the catchiest songs that have swear words in them now. So
yeah, you gotta be careful of the swear words, right?
Yeah. Well, it's what's funny is for me, I try not to write songs with too much vulgarity these days. But boy, when the subject at hand just fires,
how can you not? Conan, stay in touch.
All right, Mike. Thank you and Kathy so much.
Just call littlebook.net. You're absolutely welcome. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. Cat Mary is calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Cat Mary, good to hear from you.
Hey, thanks, Mike. You were talking about religious madness earlier in the program.
I was indeed.
Yeah, I thought I would like to share a couple of personal incidents.
Okay.
Okay. I used to work at the mega university here.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a professor who was a World War II veteran, very good shape. He bicycled to work. And, of course, he strapped his books on the back of his bicycle, and he wore a suit. Well, in this same very city of Memphis, there was a Baptist church in the neighborhood on his route that was commanded by one Adrian Rogers, who taught his flock to be very suspicious of anyone who deviated from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend, the professor, was bicycling down the road one day, and the flock from Mr. Rogers' church came out, looked at him in a suit on a bicycle with books strapped on the back, thought he was a Mormon, picked up rocks and threw them at him.
Oh, my God.
He laughed about it when he got up here, you know,
mm-hmm.
when he got up to the university. But it was nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, and the other story was back when my son was about 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in a half of a duplex, had a little front porch. And the mister and I were inside one day, and we heard this murmur from outside.
A murmur?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the kids on the front porch.
Yeah.
And after a while, we heard things like, and you could play with the other children. Wouldn't that be nice? And we would tell you stories. And so we drifted up to the front porch to see what was going on. And there were two guys in suits standing there offering our kid religious candy.
Religious candy?
You know, pamphlets, propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of thing. So I came out and he said, well, we were just talking with your son about going to vacation Bible school. I said, well, that's very nice of you, but we just don't believe the way that you do.
Right.
And a lot of people don't, but then when they reconsider, they learn the error of their ways, as it were, and so forth. And so I said, well, you know, I just don't think that we believe the way you do. And the son's looking on at this dialogue. The guy says, he's trying to make some connection. He says, well, there are a lot of people that believe God is in everything, that God is in nature. And so they worship nature because they think that's where God is.
Mm-hmm.
The son looked up at him and said, oh, your friend must be a druid then. And their eyes got very, very big. They cautiously backed away.
Yeah, well, you just said the magic word for us.
Man, we were right proud of him.
Yeah, that was great. That's a great story, Mary.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Captain Mary. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you checking in. Captain Mary. There, I know we should be doing important stuff tonight, and we're not. But anyway, I've got this. I've gotten four people send me links to this at Think Progress about this Christian hate group in Amarillo, Texas. This is getting out of control. Their website is repentamarillo.com. Repentamarillo.com. This is murderous. These people are sick sons of bitches. They call themselves an army of God, which is a rough interpretation of the word Hezbollah. Hezbollah means about the same thing as army of God. These are Christians, or they claim to be. You go to their website, there's a warfare map, and if you click on the warfare map, it shows you targets around Amarillo, Texas. The red pushpins represent sexually oriented business. The blue pushpins represent occult witchcraft. The green pushpins represent idol worship. And the yellow pushpins represent what they call compromised churches. Now, what they're calling for is war and death and destruction and murder and mayhem in Amarillo, Texas. And of course, they do it in a very, oblique or an occult kind of way. I guess they don't realize the word occult simply means hidden. But if you go to this website, this is amazing. Think Progress says an evangelical Christian hate group called Repent Amarillo is reportedly terrorizing the town of Amarillo, Texas. Repent fashions itself as a sort of militia and targets a wide range of community members they deem offensive to their theology. Gays, liberal Christians, Muslims, environmentalists, breast cancer events that do not highlight abortion as being a cause, Halloween, spring break events, pornography shops. And on its website, Repent has posted a warfare map of its enemies in town. A blogger, Charles Johnson, writes that it is led by a man named David Grisham, a security guard at a nuclear bomb facility. Jesus Christ, of course, of course. Absolutely. Whiskey, Tango, Foxtrot, of course. Oh, my God. Led by a man named David Grisham, a security guard at a nuclear bomb facility, Pantex. Repent first gained media attention in Texas following a campaign to boycott Houston for electing a gay mayor. The group is associated with Raven Ministries. According to a new expose by the Texas Observer, Repent set out earlier this year to destroy a discreet club of swingers they discovered in town. Swingers? Jesus Christ, how 1970 is that? On New Year's Eve, the harassment began with Repent members, almost exclusively young men, showing up in military fatigues and bullhorns, blaring Christian music at the Swingers Club building. The Swingers, made up of regulars of middle-aged working-class couples, were then stalked at every following visit to the club. Repent not only took video of each member, but obtained the Swingers' license plates and dug through their trash. Repent has struck with some success at many of its enemies within the town. A community theater attempted to open Bent, a play about persecution of homosexuals during Nazi Germany. But the day before opening night, Repent members helped shut down the play by calling in fire marshals to complain about the theater's permit. Staffers at a nature preserve were featured on local news defending themselves against Repent accusations that their site represents something related to witchcraft, witchcraft, witchcraft. Son of a bitch. Go to their website. Damn it, are you not listening to your talk show host? Look at this. Repent Amarillo soldiers. Oh, my God. So here it is, the American Taliban. Here it is, Hezbollah. Hezbollah, American Hezbollah. Oh, this guy in the soldier outfit, the phony soldier outfit with no insignia, of course, looks very sweet, with the oversized sunglasses. Oh, come on, dude. Jesus Christ, stop. Little helicopter flying. Do you see the helicopter? Isn't that cute?
So he's a security guard at a nuclear facility?
Nuclear bomb facility.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank goodness. For a second there, I thought we had something to worry about.
Yeah, no. A nuclear bomb with Pantex. Y'all know Pantex. That's a company that makes triggers, I think, for nuclear weapons. No, it has nothing to do with feminine products. That's iPads. I don't know, man. This is just astonishing. And then another story that kind of, sort of links into this. Did you go to karlrovebook.net yet and tweet it all over the internet? Link it to your Facebook page? Anything? Just get it out there. Where's that other one? Oh, yeah. Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent, sent this in. The Pentagon lied originally about this Marine reportedly killed by private contractors. The Pentagon originally said the Marine had been killed in combat, just like the what was his name? The football player who was killed by so-called friendly fire. Tillman. Pat Tillman's story. Well, this guy is a 24-year-old Indiana Marine. He was shot to death in Afghanistan by several U.S.-paid private security contractors. The contractors, according to a fellow Marine in Afghanistan who communicated with an investigative reporter in Chicago, were Afghans who were found with copious amounts of opium and had been paid by the United States as guards. More of this in a second when we come back. This is unbelievable.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the army. Oh boy. Anyway, the Pentagon confirmed late last night that it's investigating now the death of a 24-year-old Indiana Marine after he was shot to death in Afghanistan by several U.S.-paid private security contractors. The contractors were Afghan men who were found with, quote, copious amounts of opium, end quote, and had been paid by the United States to act as guards. ABC quotes a friend and fellow colleague of Lance Corporal Josh Birchfield as saying in an email message, quote, he was killed by local national contractors hired by Americans that were high on opium the morning of the 19th. Lance Corporal Joshua Birchfield was killed after being shot in the head February 19th. The Department of Defense originally reported he died of small arms fire while in combat. But the story, this is according to Raw Story, the story is apparently darker and more complex, raising questions of whether the Pentagon originally concealed information about the Marine's death. The Chicago Marine who tipped off the ABC reporter purportedly wrote a detailed email surrounding the circumstances of Birchfield's death. Regarding the Afghan men, the fellow Marine is said to have emailed, quote, these men are armed to the teeth and supposedly here for our protection. We have been shot at by the contractors on several cases before this incident. We've been told to refrain from returning fire and attempt to identify ourselves as Marines. So they stopped shooting. The email continued, they are also drug abusers. The shooter was found to have copious amounts of wet opium on him shortly after the shooting. We found a bag of wet opium in the compound that the contractors were using to get high. A mix of drugs and gray areas of loyalty between U.S. forces and Taliban seems to be the motivation behind the shooting. What else does it say here? Anyway, the Pentagon announced an investigation into the death yesterday, declined to say what exactly they were investigating. Investigators reportedly found the private security guards with drugs and weapons and placed several under arrest. ABC reporter Chuck Gowdy wrote about Birchfield's death in a column in the local newspaper, the Daily Herald. Curiously, his column includes this caveat, quote, the views in this column are his own and not those of WLS-TV. That's an ABC affiliate there. God, I worked for WLS. Remember that? The bad old days. And as Sharon, our military affairs correspondent, wrote rather cryptically at the beginning of the email, if this is true, .. that can be interpreted a number of ways. I'm not sure exactly what Sharon meant, but I think for one thing, possibly what she meant, is it shows that American troops there are seen not just by the Taliban, but by everybody as invaders, which we are, as occupiers, which we are, and we have as much chance of, quote, winning, end quote, in Afghanistan as we did in Vietnam. The death toll in Afghanistan just recently passed 1,000. That's our people. No, that's not civilians. We have killed many more than 1,000 civilians so far, I believe. But it's how many American soldiers have died. And I'm still waiting for somebody, for anybody, to tell me what we're fighting for there other than to secure areas through which American and British consortium of oil companies can build pipelines. If anybody can refute that and tell me why we're really fighting there, I'd love to hear from you. But liberals, progressives understand that's the reason. Republicans or conservatives are too goddamn stupid to understand anything. They really do believe we're fighting for freedom, justice, and the American flag or some such nonsense in Afghanistan. You dumbasses. Man. So, Americans, an American, and the hell of it is, you know, when an American Marine is shot dead in a war zone, where the casualties, well, every one of them is horrific for the families, but the casualties of American dead are, at this point, are scattered. It's not like Reagan's adventure in Lebanon. It's not like, Bush's adventure in Iraq. So when an American Marine is shot dead, the circumstances of that death are known instantly. Instantly. They say truth is the first casualty of war, and that's true, but this is not that kind of a war. So the Marines on the ground who watch their comrade get shot dead or discover their dead comrade and the people involved in the killing, they know what happened. And it works its way rather quickly back up the chain of command so that the people in the Pentagon can concoct a goddamn lie, as they did with Pat Tillman. Now, the chief liar in the Tillman case was General McChrystal, who now heads all of the forces in Afghanistan. All-American, but well, I don't know. Is he the supreme commander or just American forces? So here we go again. Which I think is, first of all, why is United States military hiring private contractors to do what? To protect what? I mean, Jesus Christ, this is insane. This is like, I don't know, what's it like? It's like the Marines in Vietnam hiring Vietnamese to protect them. What is this? We'll be back after the break. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. Coming to your calls here in just a second. Regarding the Marine killed by the private Afghan contractors, Michael in Roswell writes, would it be unreasonable to say that when we run a war on capitalist principles, that money buys loyalty, we're deluding ourselves? Yeah, we tried that in Iraq to buy off the Shiites, and they are now being slaughtered by the to buy off the Sunnis, and they're being slaughtered now by the Shia. I believe I've got that right. And David in Los Angeles writes in here, it's something that's really just been seriously, seriously pissing me off the past, what's it been, 2 days, 3 days a week? This air traffic controller that took his kids in and they read off, JetBlue 103 cleared to runway 12 over. And then the pilot comes out. You know, I'm so sick of this story. Why do these people, why do these anchor people keep bringing this story up? David writes, Mike, it's amazing to hear the outrage over a child giving orders to pilots from the JFK control tower while under parental supervision. Where was the outrage for 8 years when George Bush was giving orders from the White House without parental supervision? David, who listens on KTLK. What a non-story. I mean, it's there's no there. So the guy brought his kids in, and his kid. Oh, well, maybe the kid was reading the scopes and saying, oh, Dad, here, I'm going to direct him to runway 4 and give him, clearance after that 757 lands. What is that? Oh, yeah, that's in Air France. Okay, as soon as that, you know, for Christ's sake, the guy sat there with a kid on his lap and said, okay, now say this. Now, the guy's lost his job, right? And the supervisor, shift supervisor. Jesus God. Derek.
Hello.
Derek, turn your radio down quick.
I'm down. I had to roll up my window and everything.
Well, there you go. Driving in Iowa, listening on Sirius. Hello,
yes,
Derek.
Yes, I am. Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you, sir. I was listening to, and I thought this for a long time, but I was listening to you talk about the contractors with the wet opium.
Right.
And I just can't imagine that a bunch of unscrupulous people could be around that amount of dollar amount of drugs and not be involved in the trafficking of it as well. I mean, obviously they did that in Vietnam, but does it make sense that every war that we're in is not just for oil, but also for drugs?
It really seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. What's that?
It really seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we spend an awful lot of money in Colombia, don't we?
Sure do.
I mean, it's just a shim sham, flim flam, you know?
Yeah, it is. And anyone who thinks for half a second that the U.S. government, through some agency, CIA, DIA, I'm not saying necessarily that the people at the top, whether it was George W. Bush or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, I'm not saying these people are in on the scam, but it is, I mean, this goes back to the Reagan era when Oliver North. No, it goes back to, Reagan and Pappy Bush, where they decided that the way they were going to fund their illegal wars in Central America was through the sale of cocaine and crack in the United States. I mean, these son of a bitches will stop at nothing, absolutely nothing, to conduct their corporate wars. So anyone who thinks that these billions of dollars in opium poppies and eventual heroin that is produced in Afghanistan is not, to some extent, passing through the hands of the CIA or the DIA or the Pentagon or whatever the hell agency now is charged. Maybe they've contracted that out. these Afghans, of course, are the patsies. Oh, look, Afghans caught with wet opium. Woo! Okay. What about the dry opium in that is being shipped out under the close supervision of the Central Intelligence Agency? What about that opium? Oh, no, Mike, that wouldn't happen. No, we don't play that way. We wouldn't get involved in those billions and billions and billions of dollars. We wouldn't do that. Oh, hell no. We're the good guys. We're there for freedom and justice and mom and Jesus and apples and pies and stuff and, you know, flags and freedom. And that's why we're not there for the drugs, you goddamn commie. That's it, Malloy. You America hater, you. You always pick on America. You always go after America first, don't you, Malloy? Yeah, I get emails like that. I don't see them, but I've heard that I get emails like that. I just send them into the porcelain file. Jesus. Repent, Amarillo. I got to go back just for a second here to this, go back to Captain Holly Graf. She was the Navy captain who was removed from command after an inspector general investigation found she verbally and physically assaulted crew members and forced subordinates to walk her dog and entertain at a personal party. What? For that, she lost her command. She was in charge of the guided missile cruiser Cowpens, and the charges against her include numerous cases of belittling crew members in a manner that apparently shocked even hardened sailors used to foul-mouthed ship behavior. According to investigators, a regular Holly Graf refrain was, "What are you, effing stupid?" Ooh, that's terrible. The report, which substantiated several of the claims made against Captain Graf, brought an end to her time on the ship. The military newspaper Stars and Stripes reported her removal for abusive behavior. A few days ago, however, the Navy released a copy of the report by the Admiralty and Maritime Law blog, and a copy was obtained by Time magazine under the Freedom of Information Act. The Time article painted Graf as a modern William Bligh, a reference, of course, to the mutiny on the Bounty, the 18th century naval captain who sparked the mutiny on that ship. The question being raised now is how Graf was able to rise through the ranks and stay in command as long as she did. Even before the Inspector General's report was released, Captain Holly Graf's exploits as captain of the Cowpens proved rich fodder for national security bloggers and blog commenters who discussed her alleged misdeeds, including an allegation that her ship had plowed into a whale. Susan Katz Keating, a national security reporter, wrote on her personal blog, quote, "Apparently this is the same Captain Graf who reportedly mowed down a whale on the high seas and who seriously offended an Australian official during a port call. Captain Graf also was known for her skills at coffee cup hurtling, but not seamanship." Now, also the report alleged a high seas drag race between her ship and the USS John McCain, an Arleigh Burke-class destroyer. A spokesman for Pacific Fleet told the New York Post, quote, "Multiple witnesses interviewed by the inspector general and the commanding officers of both ships all stated that the ships were racing." This is the kind of captain you really want to serve under, right? I'm serious. You know, I'm not kidding. This is somebody. So anyway, Captain Holly Graf, who seemed to want, I know. It was a goddamn destroyer. I understand. Whoa. And a guided missile cruiser. Can't have somebody like Captain Holly Graf doing that. Can you imagine they're pulled up someplace in the Middle Pacific and Graf shoots over the radio? You boys want a race?
Just a steel-toed girl on a Saturday night, looking for the final
flying monkey free fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. John is calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on XM. Hey, John.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm okay.
Another call from the guy from the belly of the beast.
From where?
In the belly of the beast.
Oh, yeah, what? Belly of the beast. I can barely hear you, John.
Just a sec here. I think, just a minute. Is that better?
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead. I'm sorry. It's just crappy connections tonight all over the place.
I'm just wondering if it goes all the way back, along with Halliburton and the rest of them, the contractor concept from Karl Rove, another ploy mm-hmm. in his plan for Republican domination going forward, you know, that eternal Republican domination,
mm-hmm.
and another way to fill the coffers of people that were going to keep Republicans in power, and then it was a monster that kept feeding itself. And then another point, I remember you saying, do you really think these guys want Obama to win when they're making all this money?
Mm-hmm.
Before Obama got into office. I remember that show when you were saying that, and it made perfect sense to me, and I don't think it was even paranoid. Are these people afraid to pull the plug on these concepts because they're afraid they're going to get knocked off or something? I don't understand this.
Well, I don't either, but one thing that we can be sure of, that between or among people like Cheney, Rove, Bush, George W. Bush, and just a whole cadre of these right-wing neocons. Tell me one thing that wasn't corrupted by these bastards. Just one thing. They have destroyed everything.
Well, and another point I wanted to make, isn't it kind of sad that when we feel that we have the best military in the world and the most intelligent and powerful military in the world, that we debase them by making everybody think that they have to be shimmed up by these crooks, they have to be protected by them. Like that where the contractors got killed in Pakistan and supposedly protecting the CIA agents. And when does the CIA on a covert operation, why would you need to protect them from what? They're supposed to be secretive. I don't get any of it. I'm just going to listen to you here.
I don't either. I didn't understand when it became apparent that the Pentagon was hiring contractors to guard embassy personnel. Wasn't that always the job of an elite branch of the United States Marine Corps? Did we lose? Yeah, we lost him. Oh, well. Sorry. The belly of the beast swallowed you. But isn't that, I mean, the Marine Corps, wasn't that part of their responsibility? Embassy guards, the diplomatic corps. And now you see these thuggish sons of bitches in their wraparound sunglasses and their Christ only knows what kind of a weapon they're carrying in their hands. They seem to be armed to the teeth. They are not subjected to any kind of heavy-duty scrutiny before they're hired. They're, Z or Blackwater or Dyncor, whoever these companies are that put these thugs out there, they just put them out there. And they're not, I mean, what laws govern these outlaws? There are none. And as far as hiring the locals to protect Marines, what does that mean? What does that mean? I think our caller's right. You know, this is another Karl Rove, George Bush, Dick Cheney scam. You know, privatize. Hell, I just get so tired of talking about it. I really do. That's one of the reasons. I think Rove suffers from Alzheimer's disease. You know what that is? He can't remember if he was a Nazi or not. That's an old joke. And I think it comes from Irish Dave. All right, we're going to take a break here in a minute, and then we'll come back and take some more phone calls. But when you think about how these conservatives, these right-wingers, have so debased everything. Everything. I don't care if it was the way you buy a house or what happens to you if you blindly join the military thinking that you're really going to fight for peace, love, and mom. I mean, they've destroyed everything. Every single thing that these sons of bitches have put their hands on, Republicans, they have ruined, destroyed, corrupted, turned filthy, tarnished. I just wish I lived in a country where these right-wing bastards did not exist. We'll be back after the break. Before the hour, this is the Malloy program. Tosca is calling from Sonoma, California, listening on Green 960. Hello, Tosca.
Hi, Mike.
Are you the composer?
No, I'm just the daughter of a man who loved it.
Ah, okay.
Loved opera.
That's a great name.
Thank you. You know, I'm 74 years old. First off, I have to say I'm really worried about you. Your empathy is so great that I'm afraid it's going to get you.
No, I'm fine. I appreciate the concern, but
I hear the agony that you have for what's going on. I don't feel very positive. I used to be a very positive person.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I feel that we can't change the collective consciousness. And, you know, you just cannot change minds. If you can't reason with them, you can't reason with them. And it's like there's only one way this thing can go for someone like you that knows history. And that's what I'm afraid of. It's going to take a while. But without being able to change those hard heads, we're headed down a road where the only thing that's going to change it is when people have suffered enough that we have a civil war. Right?
It sometimes appears that way. What I hope is that, and you know, I've said this before on the program, that this may be misplaced or misguided hope, but my hope is that eventually some event or incident or however one wants to describe it will occur that will really focus people in this country, not the crazy people, but the people who are not crazy, the 300 million of us who are not crazy, not the 20 million who are, but the 300 million who are not. And bring some sort of I don't want to say burst of consciousness, because that gets a little bit too new agey for a lot of people, but that's precisely what I mean. Some kind of a burst of consciousness that will make people realize that all these negative death people who are running our country, whether they're in the government or the patriot movement or anti-gay or anti-this or anti-that, that they really are irrelevant, and that the way to handle them is to sit on them.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sit on them, this enormous pressure of indifference.
If there were some way that I felt I could contribute to that, I just feel so, the lunacy is, well, you talk about it.
I think you are contributing to it, to the eventual snuffing out of this madness, because you haven't been sucked into that vortex. I think you contribute to it just by having the thoughts and the energy that you have. I'm probably going to make some of my listeners go, oh my God, what, he's turned new age on us. Where'd you go out there to the coast and get in a hot tub? But you know what I'm talking about.
Some of the things you say are lighten my evening, let me tell you.
Well, that's if I can get a chuckle, Tosca, that's great. But I think I've got kids and grandkids. The only thing I can do is just to keep working on those kids and grandkids and say, look, you know, I'm not going to be around for a long time, very much longer. You know, nobody knows. You never know when your library card is going to be canceled. But
God, yes, I know.
But
I'm close to that.
Right. But those of us of a certain age have got to leave our kids and grandkids motivated. Because it may take 20, 30 years, to reverse all this damage. And I'm not just talking about Republicans. I'm just talking about the damage to everything that's been done.
It's incredible. I mean, I'm sure I'm old enough to be your mother, but anyway, just from what, you know, I'm not going to go into the old saws about what it was like, but God, things are so horrible right now that I don't know where to. I can't even talk about it. I mean, it just renders me speechless at times.
Well, before you get into that, old enough to be your mother, my mother. Let me assure you that you may be old enough to be my older sister.
Okay. All
but
right.
There is no way in hell that you could be, you're old enough to be my mother, Tosca. Trust me on that one, okay?
I want to say one last thing, then I'll let you go, because I know there are
all
others.
Right.
I had the privilege of working on a 20-year project that took just the humankind history out of the Testaments and combined it with other ancient history of the then Western world and the politics. And it's interesting because it traces it by the women. It's free online. It for someone who does go into it in depth, it shows you the connections of the ethnicities through the women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, it's really important for us to recognize what our roots are, if that's the right pronunciation.
What's the website?
Huh?
What's the website?
It's www.historyofthedaughters.com. It's free online. It's 1,000 pages.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Historyofthedaughters.com.
Right.
Well, that would be a long winter's project for somebody.
Historyofthedaughters.com.
All right. Well, a lot of people are writing it down right now. Maybe I have.
Well, it's got an extreme table of content, so people can zero in on some of the history. But, you know, this man we call Christ, there should be a secular holiday for him, like Martin Luther King and other heroes for the common people. You know, if he hadn't been usurped by Constantine for imperial religiosity, things could have gone a lot differently. So anyway, there's some of that in there too. But thank you for taking your time with me, and I think you're great. I love you, and keep up the good work, and I would love to be your older sister.
All right, Tosca. Thanks a lot for checking in. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Historyofthedaughters.com. Well, let me do this first. Perry Two writes, on pulling the plug, if Obama were to pull the plug on the right-wingers and the transnational corporations, it would be pretty rough going for years. imports would be cut off and everything would need to be rationed. With the government loaded up with Republican embeds, it would be hard to even keep order. Obama has to build up enough trust with the middle class before making any attempt to right the ship, assuming he even wants to. Yeah, I don't think Obama's going to do it. I think, you know, a president three administrations down the road may preside over the reconstruction of the physical plant that this country is, but also the whatever moral structure can be reinstituted, whatever ethical conduct can be reinstituted, if any ever existed, whatever spiritual component. You know, I may be an atheist, but I'm damn sure not devoid of a sense of spiritual interconnectedness. Kathy, regarding this history of the daughters.com, isn't it true in evolutionary biology that you've studied that, what is it I'm looking for? The linkage between the races comes through the female, not DNA, but the female, what's that stuff inside DNA, and not DNA, but inside, what am I trying to say? I'm completely lost here. You're the one who knows this, not me.
Well, DNA is just made up.
Yeah, not DNA, but
subunits.
The cellular, what is that?
You talking about chromosomes?
Maybe that's it. We've talked.
Chromosomes contain DNA.
Yeah, but we talked about. We
talked about the frequency of alleles. You talk about the changing in frequency of alleles that influences hereditary inheritance.
But how things are hereditary more through female.
Well, that's only because there's more female chromosomal material in the universe, because X chromosomes are larger than Y chromosomes.
And so, X are male.
No, no, hon.
X.
I'm sorry. I know.
Hey, I do
love you.
I do radio. So X or female?
Yes, XX or female. XY or male.
But the evolutionary biology that has tracked.
Yeah, you're asking me to reach back, you know, a decade into my coursework.
I know, but that has tracked.
I'm sick.
That has tracked. Migration of
genetic material, genetic right. drift.
Genetic drift. Isn't it true? What I'm trying to get to here, and I'm not doing very well, what I'm trying to get to is, there it is, the
mitochondrial DNA.
Right.
Mitochondria are the powerhouses of the cells that convert glucose into energy through an oxidation process. I'm trying to remember the name of it. But yeah, but it has its own DNA. Mitochondria were
bacteria. But that's derived from the mother's DNA. From the female DNA.
Kind of, honey. But, I mean, mitochondria were ancient bacteria that were incorporated into other cells that became advantageous for survival because they converted glucose into energy. Honey, what are you asking me? It's too late. I'm exhausted.
Never mind.
Medicine.
All right.
What do you want to know? What about women and mitochondria?
Nothing. Play the music. For the hour. Well, thanks everybody who wrote in. Mitochondria. I'll just pick one here. Ken writes, you're looking for a mitochondria. Okay, you've just said it on the air. Mitochondria are inherited from the mother, so there's an unbroken chain going back millennia. So to the several people who wrote in about that, thank you. And I know you know about it. You used to tell. I never would have heard the word if I hadn't heard it from you, Kathy, from your. But that's what historyofthedaughters.com, and I think that's what Tosca was referring to. There is that connection that, in a lot of ways, males of our species try to destroy. Every time the men put together a new religion, right? And they've done it several times over the course of human history. Every time a new religion is put together here in modern times, it didn't used to be this way, but modern times being the last 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years, women are given, if any role, a totally subservient role, when in fact, you know, whether it's Judaism, Christianity, Muslim, or Islam, whatever, the truth is that woman, the creator, is should have a central role. And all that's been suppressed. If you go to the Christian Apocrypha, the books of the Bible that were suppressed or destroyed, denied because they just didn't fit in with the mythology that was being put together by the original church fathers. If you go back to some of these books, the Book of Mary, the Gospel of Mary, some of these, the Gospel of Andrew, some of these other, what are called the apocryphal, I'm not sure why, I guess it's the original Greek meaning, but the apocryphal books of the Bible, you find all this stuff that is just fascinating, fascinating, that has to do with the, among other things, the relationship between Mary Magdalene and Jesus, and on and on and on. That's just part of it. But in so many instances, if not across the board, I realize there are some religions, perhaps, or that don't denigrate or suppress totally the role of women. But look what happened in Europe over the course of about 200 years when 2-3 million women were murdered because they had knowledge. They were the healers. They were the people that in the village that one would go to for advice, for healing, for potions, and so on and so forth. And of course, the church couldn't stand that. That was a direct challenge to their mysticism and their craziness. So, kill them. Kill them all. Cut their heads off. Burn them. Bury them alive. Drown them, destroy them. Not very pleasant. Not very pleasant. Joe is in the driving in Mississippi. Listening to XM. Joe, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I love your show. And don't be misled by my accent. I am a progressive liberal in a definitely red state, and a lot of times it's hard to find a friend when you're a liberal person, and it's like a breath of fresh air down here to hear you.
I've said that before many times, Joe. I've lived in the South for 40 years now. I don't make that mistake about just by somebody's accent. It's the accent that I slide into when I want to make fun of white people. But that's, except when I'm on the air, I pretty much talk the way you do.
Oh, well, I completely understand, because it seems like the majority of the folks around here that talk this way,
mm-hmm,
generally have the wrong idea.
Over here in Georgia too, pal.
I'm sure. Well, thanks for that. That's good to know there's other people around there that have to put up.
Hey,
with
listen. One of the redneck sounding people around is Jim Hightower from Texas.
That's right.
Former Texas agricultural commissioner, who I would polish his boots and call him sir. I mean, just to listen to what he has to say.
Yeah.
So, but I hear what you're saying. We're running out of time. I'm taking up your time here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, Mike. I'll be brief. It's just a couple of things that I wanted to vent about the Republicans and conservatives that I really dislike. One being the omission of some kind of facts. If they have this Christian belief that is not based on any fact. And I wish some of them would realize that if we are to have some master plan, it should be based on facts such as a round earth, gravity, and evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go to, I visit Washington, D.C., and every museum you go in, it all talks about evolution. It's a fact. Yet some of our leaders if you say how many of you believe in evolution, so many on the conservative will raise their hand at a debate. And I'm like, you know, this is absolutely ridiculous. And I guess another thing is they can't think for themselves. These mass emails they send out, I don't know if there's any, if you get them in, from liberals too, but I never get a liberal one. If they don't write something, they get, they got a big money machine sending out these emails, and all they can do is forward them to people.
Right,
and,
right.
And then we have these churchgoers down here that just drive me crazy. They go to they go to church religiously. They walk outside the door. Here they've been worshiping the Prince of Peace, and then they walk out the door and say, maybe we should shoot all the Mexicans to keep them across the border.
Isn't that something?
It just goes on and on and on, and I really had enough. I guess thank you for letting me vent. The last thing I wanted to say is I truly feel that 20 years from now, we will have universal health care. I think that all gays will have equal rights. And I think that Sarah Palin will simply be a 65-year-old has-been.
I hope you're right, Joe. Thank you, pal. I got to leave it there. I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
When did your life start?